Hello, my name is PJ Booth and I'm the founding pastor of Open Arms Church. And Sean has asked me today to speak on legacy. Now, when he said that, immediately I'm thinking, hey, I'm not old enough to be thinking about legacy. Because in my old way of thinking, legacy has to do with something you leave in your will when you die, right? And that's what a lot of people think. I leave a legacy and you receive an inheritance. But what if my legacy had more to do with who I become as a person, rather than something I leave in material, home, money, property, or whatever it might be? What if my legacy was actually me? And that's a great question to begin with. So what is your legacy? What are you leaving for this generation and the next generation and the generations yet unborn? What if my legacy for the next generation is formed over the totality of my lifetime? And does it really matter? Does it matter about who you become and what you leave? Does it matter what's on your gravestone? Does it matter about what the next generation will say about you? And when I say the next generation, I'm not talking about this nameless, faceless people. How about your sons and daughters, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and so on? People who you love, people who matter, people who care, our people, my people. And of course, when I think of legacy, I go back and think about, well, who are the people who influenced my life? The very first person, of course, was my own mother. She loved me and cared for me. And although she didn't have a vocabulary at times to describe that, I knew that through her determination, her hard work, the level of closeness that I had with her, that she loved me deeply. And then, of course, there are others. My first teacher was a guy called Mr. Moore. He taught me in the tech. And he said that I could do anything if I set my mind to it. And that allowed me to look up, because I lived in an area where a lot of people were unemployed, where a lot of generational unemployment happening. So it allowed me to look beyond that. My boxing coach, Mick Quigley, who told me that I was a good boxer, and he trained me and taught me and pushed me to be that. My first foreman, a guy called Ian Stewart, who told me as a young apprentice that I had a really good pair of hands. So I wouldn't have thought I was that intellectual or that sharp, but I knew I had a good pair of hands, so it gave me great hope for the future. And then there's those who influenced me in my faith journey many years later. Graham Wiley, who led me to my relationship with Christ and gave me a new beginning with hope and purpose and passion. Gary Davison, who has been and continues to be my pastor since 1991. And Gary has shown me what love and sacrifice are all about. He taught me how to love others and how to live a life of grace and not to take myself too seriously. A really good point in life. And there are many others who have left an impression, or they've left their mark upon me. My friends and mentors, Donovan Coetzee from South Africa, Joe Byrne, an Irishman living in the States, Craig Dacus in Oklahoma, Joe Kelly from St. Mark's, and so many more that I actually could keep you here all day long. And then I have my original leadership team here in Open Arms. Elizabeth, my wife, Sean Duncan, Sean Sheehy, and Peter Redmond. Now, of course, there are more. There have been many more over the years. Well, I'm thinking in particular about legacy from the beginning. Do you know that these original leaders give and give and give? They sacrificed week after week, month after month, and year after year. They served at every service, every outreach. They attended every prayer meeting. And for the first number of years, 5, 6, 7 years, they gave 80% of all of our income. And any time that we had a special offering to buy, to extend our building, it was they who were first up to the plate. And so as I prepared this message, I came to the conclusion that legacy can't be separated from sacrifice. Legacy and sacrifice go together hand in hand. And in February just gone, we mark 25 years since the very first meeting that was to become Open Arms Church. We are coming up to our third anniversary of Open Arms Dublin and the very first anniversary of Open Arms Online. And God, of course, has been so, so good to us. Over the years, he has continued to supply, continued to encourage, continued to turn up and turn up time after time. But I can tell you, it has taken a lot of sacrifice to get here. And when I think of the sacrifice that Gary Davison has made over 35 years in Ireland, I'm grateful to be part of his story. When I think of our original leadership team for their commitment, determination and sacrifice, I'm humbled to be part of their lives, again, to be part of their story. And as I watch Sean and Gillian and see their commitment, their determination, their selflessness, and their sacrificial living, I'm proud as a dad, and yet know that they have to continue living this way and serving this way for the rest of their lives in order to build on the shoulders of giants that have gone before them. Open Arms Church, Open Arms Family, can encourage you to pray for your leaders, especially for Sean and Jill and the leadership team over the coming years, to get behind the vision and strategy that God has given them to reach this nation with the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Encourage them. Speak well to them. Speak well about them. Tell them that you love them and support them. Can I tell you that a kind word to a pastor who's in the trenches goes a very, very long way? You know, many of us go to church and then we go home, but your leaders, your pastors, live with the church every single day. Can I tell you that not a day passes when we are not thinking and praying for you and planning how to reach the people within our sphere of influence, the people within the nation of Ireland? And the vision and purpose of God actually consume us. It energizes us and leads us forward. This is not a job. I didn't leave one job to go to another job. This is a passionate call of God that burns within our bones. The vision and purpose of God will continue to drive us forward, to lead us forward, and supply our needs. So the question I'm going to begin with is, how are we and how are some of the ways to become that legacy that you want to leave behind? I'm reading from 2 Peter 1, 5 to 7, and I'm reading from the Message version. It says, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting in and developing the other. With these qualities, active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without his reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. With these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So I'm going to begin with a couple of points. Here we go. Grow the leader within you. So each line is going to start with grow. And when I say grow the leader within you, we are all leaders. And who is the most difficult person to lead? Me. I am the most difficult person to lead. But let me tell you, whether you're single, married, divorced, have no children, or like my mom, had 12 children, you lead people in your sphere of influence. Oftentimes we think of a leader as someone who's a position of authority or in a church or in government. Well, no, we are all leaders in our sphere of influence. And how you view yourself as a leader will determine how you lead others. So I would encourage you, take stock. Realize that people are watching. As a believer, right, people are watching you, measuring your words against your actions. So begin to grow yourself. Realize that you are on a mission that will affect this generation and the generations yet unborn. Second point is, grow your vision. See what is invisible. If you see what others can't, you learn how to possess it. We need insight, foresight, and then oversight. First is insight. viewing life through a microscope, seeing beyond the now, seeing what can be, delve deeper, dig deeper. Get help with your past, delve deeper, right? And stop allowing it to determine your future. Drill down into God's word and God's promises for your life. Drill down, study. You know, people, it's great, read the Bible in a year, that's great, get the Bible, but delve in to those scriptures. I'm going through the book of Romans again. And every time I go through it and say, wow, 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 imagine that's who God is. Imagine that's what he has. Imagine that's who he's called me to be. Dig deeper, delve deeper. Jesus created and sustained all things. He made you. He gave you DNA, personality, gifts, purpose, and placed you on this earth for this particular time. You matter. You matter right now. You matter tomorrow. You matter because God has placed you for his purposes right here, right now. The second point in this is foresight, looking at life through the telescope. View your future way ahead. Look through that telescope into space, as it were. A guy called John Mitchell says this: plan in decades, think in years, work in months, live in days, and celebrate in moments. So one critical question for me to ask of myself is this: how do you want the next generation to live out their lives? It's a good question. How do you want the next generation to live out their lives? How about your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews? Do you really want them to know Jesus? Do you want them to grow up with the security and peace of God? Do you want a place of discipleship for them and their children? Do you want their foundations built on politics, online forums, popular opinion, or based on the living, active, breathing Word of God? How we live our lives today has a direct consequence on how our descendants will live out theirs. Folks, the seed that we sow today will be seen in the crops that the future generations will harvest. That is so, so important. It matters how we live our lives. It matters what we do now, but for generations to come. We all know the story about New College in Oxford. Apparently, it was discovered in 1860 that the long oak beams holding up the roof of an ancient dining hall were rotten and needed replacement. But nobody knew where they might find such huge timbers. It then came to light, thanks to the college woodsman, that when the hall was built in the 14th century, the college founder, William Wickham, had planted a grove of oak trees that were reserved expressly to replace the beams. And so, thanks to Wickham's incredible foresight, 500 years later, the college had the oaks it needed for the job, and fellows and students have been dining happily ever after. Imagine that foresight. Imagine thinking beyond this generation into the generations that follow. You know, I've heard people say, well, why worry? Won't God take care of them? But imagine if we give our kids and grandkids such a great start, such a good example, such a life well lived. Imagine what God can then do with them. The bigger we grow in character and faith, the further that we can see, but the further that they can see. So I want to encourage you to aim high. Aim high. Don't be mediocre. Don't be lukewarm, but aim high. This is what Michelangelo said: the greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. Wow. I don't know about you, but that puts a shiver up my spine. Let us not be so laid back during this lockdown that we fall over. You know, most people fail and fall through idle hands and by aiming too low. What if we could change a generation who live on this island to be worshippers of Jesus? What if we had a vision and an aim that was even beyond this generation? Imagine with me what it would be like for Christians to be politicians in Dáil Éireann. Christian men and women in government and society, in the marketplace, in places of influence, running education that will determine the input of our kids for generations to come. Healthy, strong, confident, loving, caring, passionate men and women who love Jesus, love themselves, love their neighbor, love their communities, and live out their lives as true followers of Jesus Christ. Folks, aim high. Aim high. How we live our lives today has a direct consequences on how our descendants will live out theirs. The next thing we need is oversight. This is really accountability. Have people in your life that will challenge you. You know, one of my regrets in life that I didn't always listen intently to my wife, Elizabeth. If I had, I would have saved myself a lot of pain. So I want to encourage you. Have people that speak into your life and whom you listen to. That is so, so important. My next main point is grow again. Grow your thinking. Michelangelo again said, every block of stone has a statue inside and is my task as a sculptor to discover it. Imagine that within every stone, within every person, there's something that God has placed within. So I want you to listen to these words very carefully. Jesus has placed a man, a woman of God within you. He sees what he has created you and who he has created you to be. He knows because he made you for such a time as this. We are filled with his love, so release it. We are filled with his passion, release it. We are filled with his holiness, release it. We are filled with vision and purpose and release it and become the man or woman of God that he has called you and destined you and empowered you to be. Do you know you can help me right now? On your tablet, on your computer, on your phone, just go tap in amen. Put a thumbs up. Just encourage us all as we're doing. Participate in this message. Come alive. Come on. Everyone, type in amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever word comes to your mind. You know, when we were born again by the Spirit of God, God placed the ability within us to grow fruit, to grow really, really good fruit. And that fruit is life-changing, not just for us, because people will see that fruit, it's going to be life-changing for them. Those people who watch us, those people who try to match up my words with my actions, when they see the fruit of the Spirit within me, it would encourage them and draw them to the person of Jesus. And I want to read Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. But I want to catch your attention. I'm going to read the Message version. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our life. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberant about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Jesus, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It is crucified. Crucified. Wow. We need to develop these fruits. We need to allow these fruits to be released within us because they're in us. God has placed them within us. And let me remind you again, how we live our lives today has a direct consequence on how our descendants will live out theirs. Remember, legacy is not something we leave, rather it's something we become. And the next grow is grow through sacrifice. Can I just tell you, nothing can be achieved without sacrifice. Romans 12, 1-2 says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, Edison, he failed 1,000 times, but he didn't give up. When the reporter asked him, "How did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention that took 1,000 steps. Well, what about reframing? About rethinking? Failure does not exist in our lives. We just start again. We start fresh. People have said to me, "PJ, I've failed too many times." But I want to say to you, even if you have failed and fallen 1,000 times, get back up and allow God the opportunity to shine his love, to shine his grace, and to shine his power through your life. Allow yourself to be used as a trophy of his grace, of his goodness, and of his kindness. Allow other people to see the glory of God through your brokenness and your failure. Because I want to tell you, as we sacrifice our life for him, his life will shine through and we will make it. So get back up and start again. I want to read Romans 12:1 again, but this time from the Message version, again to catch our attention. So here's what I want to say to you. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And so oftentimes when we think of sacrifice, we think, well, I wonder, will God make me sell my house, give up my job, and go on the mission field? But this is what he says in his word. Do you take your everyday, ordinary life? You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life. This is a sacrificial life. This is where God wants us to live out that sacrifice. Where God has planted you in the same job, in the same house, the same people in your sphere of influence. Remember, God has placed you here for such a time as this. You are not an accident. It matters who you are, who you become, and what you do. And so this is where we sacrifice. This is where we serve. This is where we give. This is where we share the gospel. And this is where we demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Our next grow is grow your appetite. Different appetite. Question is, how hungry? How hungry are you to see souls in heaven? How hungry are you to see your loved ones come to know Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave generosity. How about those that perhaps you have in your prayer list? How about those that perhaps you prayed for years ago and you've stopped? Your family, parents, kids, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, friends, workmates, neighbors. How hungry are you to see them come into a life-changing relationship with Jesus? You know, I spoke a few weeks ago here about heaven. Do you want him to be there? Or do you think that hell is just another figment of our imagination, or it is a reality and people must choose between heaven and hell? Let's help them make the right choice. How we live our lives today has a direct consequence on how our decisions will live out. Come on, how our descendants will live out theirs. And may I add to that, also, how your loved ones, how your family, how your friends and the rest will live out eternity. How and where? It's a big question. The next grow is grow in reputation. Just like legacy, it's something you become. 1 Timothy 3 says, "And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So our reputation travels whether we want it to or not. It's interesting that he says to have a good reputation with those outside the church. You know, we used to have an expression years ago that says, oh yeah, your man, yeah, he's a street angel and a house devil. In other words, he was all lovely and bliss and grace and smiles outside, but would go home and batter his wife and his family. Folks, can I encourage you that you have to be the same on the inside as you are on the outside? Please don't be that person who goes to church and we smile and we look like saints and go home and you're like something different. Be consistent. Be the same on the inside. And integrity in the dictionary says the quality or condition of being whole or undivided. Whole or undivided. So I would encourage you, don't be a double-minded person. Be true to yourself and develop a good reputation. The next grows growing generosity. Here, I looked up this list online. It says the average person consumes in their lifetime between 35 to 100 tons of food. Imagine, during the lockdown, I think you could almost double that. About 100 million calories. We consume 7,000 animals, 1.3 million sheets of toilet paper. No wonder we were hoarding them. 40,000 gallons of petrol. We consume over 2.8 million gallons of water, 18,000 eggs, 30,000 cans of Coke, 30,000 apples. We grow 590 miles of hair. I could do with one myself. Ladies wear about 350 pairs of shoes and over 200 pairs of jeans. The average man will spend 50,000 euro on clothing alone. We drink 90,000 cups of tea or coffee. We use 7 washing machines, 5 fridges, 8 microwaves, 10 TVs and 15 computers in our lifetime. The average home has at least 2 tellies, right? And the average person watches 4 hours of TV every day, which is 12 and a half years over the course of your lifetime. And yet we say we haven't got time. My goodness. But here's good news. Here's the good news, right? We also eat 4,000 slices of pizza and, ladies, a half ton of chocolate. So there's always good news in the middle of it all. But Matthew 6:19 says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I would encourage you to start investing in the bank of heaven. It's the only bank that never closes a branch, and your return is heavenly. Which brings me to the question about what are the enemies and what is the enemy of generosity? And surely it is selfishness. We are born with clenched fists. We are born selfish. We promote self. We protect self. We provide for self, which often can take the place of God. And perhaps the essence of generosity is sacrifice, becoming other-centered, thinking about another person rather than yourself. Proverbs 11:24 says this, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." So generosity enlarges my world. Can you hear that? Generosity will enlarge your world and your worldview. It's bigger than me. It becomes bigger than my needs. The more generous I become, the bigger my world becomes. It's miraculous. It's within God's economy. Generosity allows me to see something of the generations to come. My sacrifice today has far-reaching positive effects on the next generation and the generations yet unborn. Wow. So be generous. My next grow is grow in excellence. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. I believe in excellence. I've seen it. Excellence, what does it do? It honors and glorifies God, but inspires man. It does two things at once. So if our desire, right, and our duty to honor God in everything that we do. And finally, one last thing. I want to encourage you, finish well. Can I please encourage you to keep on going? Don't let up. Don't back down on your commitment to Jesus. Don't compare yourself to everybody else who seems to be having a good time and getting away with it. But compare yourself to the one who called you. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to who he has called you to be and who he has called you to become. You know, it seems that there are so many Christian leaders out there who don't finish well. Well, let me tell you this. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of great Christian leaders who do finish well, who do finish well, who remain faithful to their husbands and to their wives, who remain faithful to the call and purpose of God, to remain faithful to the local church. So let's look at them and take our eyes off the ones who fall. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who has called us. Let me read 2 Timothy 4:5. It's a charge by Paul to his son Timothy. Let me read it and almost declare it over your life. It says this, "But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Wow. Legacy is not something you leave in your will. It is something that you become. And remember this, how we live our lives today have direct consequences on how our descendants will live out theirs. So as I finish, I want to give you an opportunity of beginning a legacy of faith. If you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, he's not going to come barging into your life. There's a scripture in the final book, Revelation 3:20, and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I'm asking." And if you hear that voice, if you hear me knocking, and you invite me and I will come in and be with you. If you would like to commit your life to Jesus, just pray this with me. "Jesus, well, I want to become the legacy that you have for me. Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me. Take away my sin. Fill me with your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. If you have made that commitment for the very first time, if you go to openarms.com/connect and just on the card and say, "I've committed my life to Jesus," we want to help you take the next step in your journey. But remember, become the legacy that God has called you to be. God bless you. Have a great day.